and on the bubonic plague. This is simply a genus that is exactly like the plague. A milder, slower working form of anthrax. Longer delay in incubation. Just as deadly. Once infected, just like AIDS, always deadly once it flourishes. Yet it's not the HIV virus that gives you any problem at all. It's a lazy little sucker. Destroys your immune system. You don't have anything that can get through that protein wall of the cell. And maybe still only Ed in this room will understand what I'm saying, but you see, you also have a protein covering, or a cap, if you will, on the virus itself. And what holds that on to that virus? One molecule of zinc, hypercharged. Break that connection, and the virus will fall apart. But you know how to do it, do you? Well, I do. And all of these bombardments against mankind are basically the same. Structure is a little bit different. But yes, indeedy, I certainly do know how to program those little chondrionas and those little mitochondrias and those little chondriates. And they can just go right up there, change the charge of that protein molecule, and eat the virus. Use it for fuel. If the virus has worked its way in because of its charges, it will go right inside those cells where your immune system cells, your T cells, cannot come up there and get inside to get to them. Well, how interesting, because my little mitochondria and little ganglionates go right up there, nip that little sucker, and go right in, because it is part of the same thing. It is like a gas coming from a liquid, or an ice cube going into water. And they are made to mate. Get them separated, and those little killers will just go up there and burrow right through that protein coating. Simplicity itself. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know what you're going to do. My people are going to go on a regimen of water. And you're going to accomplish two things. The little leishmaniasis cannot get through. If it does, it supplies breakfast. You've got to improve and perfect your immune system, or you will not survive. Well, how is this transmitted? Oh, well, you know, we're going to let these men give blood again, because after all, this is not a casually communicated disease. Well, I don't know how casual breathing is, but it seems like a necessity. And in my smart-ass way, I did say, I don't know how you practice safe breathing. EJ had the response, but I won't repeat it. Ask him after the meeting. Moreover, I don't know what you're going to do with those little flying bloodsuckers. Sand fleas. Remember, the plague is carried by the flea. And you can lie to yourself all you want to. AIDS is just as communicable breath spray if it enters any part of the broken skin. And mosquitoes, why would a hypodermic needle into your blood system transmit it and a mosquito proboscis wouldn't? I mean, come on. You know what the gays want? I should have had you bring that document. They're not just asking for gays to be in the military. They have a whole protocol they're demanding. One is absolutely no testing for AIDS. Well, it's not my business who has AIDS or how you got it. I would like to fix it for you. I'm not allowed to. Although, there was one other cute thing that came across my desk I'd like to share. It'll probably, thank you, Dorma, be in the Liberator. It was a cartoon. Here's a little man shouting, you know, to God. Well, if you would just, I don't understand, why don't you just send us the cure for AIDS and 37 other things? Cancer, heart, you know, all this. And God says, I did. Well, where is it? And the answer is, you aborted it. Why don't you bring us the cure for cancer? Remember, you ones who gathered in this room and that friendly little mental giant from Florida who had such great sport at our expense that day. Well, just if you would, why haven't you, if you want to prove yourself, bring us the cure for cancer? I can say I have. Where were you? It isn't my job to force anything on you. If you want to have your AIDS and your leishmaniasis too, have it. It seems unfortunate, however, for the little children with cystic fibrosis and these other genetic venous diseases to have to die. Really seems a shame to me before they have a chance at life. That's still up to you. But if you think we're going to stop our work to play fiddledy-books with America West, I have bad news for you. Whoever wants to do that can go into the parking lot and do that. We have a mission. And we're going to get through this. Now, in keeping with this meeting, because this is a meeting to discuss some of the things that are going on, I need to make a report to the Law Center Group. What we're accomplishing this very week is incredible. Gene is back in Washington, and amongst all of his other problems, he ended up with the head of the RTC. Who ended up, by the way, back to Palmdale. And the very man who came with a locksmith to change the doors the night that Olive spent the night and had a sleep in over at Dorma and EJ. And indeed there were backup guns, let's call them. All thugs, let's call them. But that man said, I was never so scared in my life. The cars kept going by me and forking up at that house. And I knew you'd want to share this. It's a small world, isn't it? Indeed, they're trying to work out some kind of a little old plan where they don't look quite as bad as they did. But they're blundering, you see. Mr. Gordon, the attorney, when approached about working out something and us allowing him to go right ahead and shorten his time and hang everybody, he's a family man. He is a child. He is a man. He is a person. He works for this institution that I think is a mental institution. And he does feel bad. But all of you have to remember that in the onset of taking over, guess what happened? The RTC, before they brought Gordon into it, hired Horn. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it sure does to me. And I'm the one who looks around and tells the secrets. So I hope you're taking notes. I may tell some more. So in the aftermath of all of these years of litigation, guess what? Mr. Gordon comes forth and says, well, I would do this. I'd let them lease up there because, yes, a full house is better than a, you know, vacant one for them to break the windows, etc. You see, him thinking maybe the pressure was off. He's going to deal with these two for 30 days or 60 days after 4.5 years? I think forget it. Mr. Enmark told them exactly what to do to stave off the eviction. They have possession. They have right of possession. But they can't get up there to really take possession. So, he's going to work this out with Mr. Tipps. Well, you know, Mr. Tipps, we have some contingent liability here. We can't just let them release us because we have this contingent liability. Oh, why would you have any contingent liability? Well, we just may. And so the Eckers will have to release all of those prior parties involved. And Mr. Tipps said, well, I don't even need to speak with them. I'm sure that is never going to happen. Well, then we may not be able to work out anything. We better think about it. By them structuring it to hang the Eckers on the Dench Doom Doctrine, they got themselves hanged. Because there's a clause in it that said if there is fraud involved, it does not apply. And he had just asked for coverage of criminal activities of which the other attorney working with him does not even quarrel. Also, I said, well, I tell you, there's another one. Get somebody to dig out the charter of the RTC. You're going to find in there that this is a government, quote, for the people operation. And in the charter, you're going to find that there will be some kind of a category that says, if there is any inference or visible act of criminality or fraud or any of these other awful things. It is the duty of the RTC not only to not cover it, but to uncover it. Indeed, they have contingent liability. They not only knew of the conspiracy and the fraud, but they had the very attorney serving them at the time of the takeover of the RTC and still writes half their documents. I don't think they'll hang in there with trying to cover Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Horn. But it's tedious. So what else is Mr. Dixon doing back there? Well, let's see. He had a meeting scheduled and several things interesting have happened. You've noticed General Powell on the news. Well, General Powell couldn't keep his appointment because he got called to the White House. But General Powell's staff was waiting for Mr. Dixon. They're getting along very fine. As George says about Bogreitz, my gosh, they're getting along like brothers. Very gracious reception by Prosecutor Walsh's department. Very gracious reception by Judge Bork. The reputation of the Constitutional Law Center preceded them, and when Gene Dixon walked into that Pentagon office, the first thing that was said to him is, oh, we are so appreciative. You really have gained reputation. If we did nothing else in these years, my friends, you have gained a massive step forward. Now to you ones who have written a letter to Marchant. I'm going to slash it, cut it, and beat it to pieces. We don't go asking, can we humbly consider that you might want to help our help. You go in and say, we are so busy, but it has come to our attention that you are constitutionally being denied hearing. And we'll try to work you in if we can. You see, I feel sorry for that lady. She lost her husband. Other great personal things. She was like one of the boys. Isn't it funny that all those black guys loved her to pieces? And then the Jewish ACLU, ADL, and Zionist operation got in there and went to work. Everything published uses, this is the criminal part of this, uses the blacks to cover their heinous activities. Well, the ADL is going to get its hand slapped. But not in time, you see, for ones like that. Should she have used slurs? No. Should she have a swastika armband from World War II in her cupboard Well, for goodness sakes, any one of you of that era that might have come home with an armband and it got thrown into the cupboard with the rest of the paraphernalia and mementos, you better look around and see what you've got. Because if the wrong person sees it, they're going to hang you. And once again, there is no point in judging the woman or her intentions. The point is, you are in America. It is her ball team. And where the soup have you gone in your minds? When you have a business, and the ones you pay multi-million dollar salaries fire you, there's something wrong, my friend. And the first one that I ever find clear and clean of any signs of bigotry or making an ethnic slur in a jestful way, including all your presidents and all their men, then maybe I'll listen to their story. Every cartoon is a slur. You better look around at what's happened to you. And Mr. Green wanted to run the CLC also. And he's made many, many contacts over there trying to get Gene Dixon to share with him, to the point that now we have another attorney that can't really work with us because he was showing his plans and things for his computerized apparatus to go on airlines. And Mr. Dixon and some of his had created a little game. I think he shared it with you. Just a child's game. But it had points of the Constitution on it. A learning tool. And George snatched that up right away, and I'll print it and we'll market it and this sort of thing. So to say that he had no involvement, total separation from these entities, is ludicrous. Does it bother me? Yes, indeed. You expect me to say no, didn't you? Yes, indeed. Well, God is pure love. I'm going to repeat something because that came back to us. And ones in this room formulated the letter. We have decided collectively that God is no longer here. Well, I have really come up in this world where you can vote me in or out because I represent the voice. And if you choose to vote me out, so be it. Take leave of me. Because it matters not one iota about what I do. I come to tell you how it is. You don't have to listen to it. And you can continue in whatever you want. And you can vote it in or out. It doesn't change it, and it doesn't change me. If I capitulate to that, I have lowered all standards, and no one should listen to me for 30 seconds. I do not control what you do. I do have right to control what goes on in my business. So please, let us come to understanding. And yes, indeed, it bothers me greatly. And these are barriers that I cannot allow to stop us. We already have one who's written a nasty note. I was finally talked into buying your journal or your Liberator, only to find there is a quarrel. I want my money back, etc., 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 etc. I don't even blame him. And yet, unbeknownst to these readers who read one issue, that is a communication source between us and our crew. It will become a voice of liberation, if you will, casually, foolishly, and loosely used, a voice for the people who would like to speak. But until this point, the journals serve their purpose, and so does the Liberator. It is our communication line with our people out there. And if someone from East Podunk or the southern part of San Francisco doesn't like it, he is welcome not to have it. I appreciate a 3-page letter to tell me how rotten I am. It seems he could have used his time more productively. What is this assumption that somebody's forcing you to do something? If you don't like the Liberator, for crying out loud, why do you read it? Well, I was told that from time to time it has something worthy in it. Or a bit of this or a bit of that will be of interest and maybe worthwhile. So if it's worth it to go through the effort to find those tidbits, it's up to you. By far, the massive majority comes back and they sit in their car and they read it cover to cover before they even go home. And if it dares be one day late, they are on the phone. We choose to listen to those ones. The other is distressing. And my people have paid enough in distress and isolation. You see, again, on this day, with hearts all over the room and a party, I have to ask Dorma to be gotten out of here instantly. When in the world does she ever get to have a party? There are not complaints, not from her, and not from this crew. It's simply the way it has to be until we get farther down the road. And we're going to get farther down the road. We're going to get all the way to the end of the road. And we're going to march right into glory. And anybody who wants to come with us is welcome to travel aboard. Some of you who wish to depart this place and have made a commitment to God, I expect it fulfilled wherever you are. Some of you have talents that have been waiting to utilize those talents for all of your lifetime and many lifetimes. And to walk out of this lifetime not having fulfilled it again is not a feasible alternative. the bits and pieces of the very solution of life itself. That's all coming together. And God would never be foolish enough to hand it all into the hands or mind of one. It will require, before the final tapestry is finished, its bits and pieces all brought together. The keys will be held by many, and they'll fit when the time is right. Now, I won't drag this meeting out forever. We would open it for some discussion. And if Soltec would share, we would hear that. If there's anything else we need to cover, you've got some real earth upheavals going on.
I didn't bring Soltec.
All right, then we have.
Maybe Ed could read
then it. Maybe Ed would read it, share it with us. It's very, very hard. It's too bad, you know, that these particular messages have to wait till the Liberator goes out or something. It's so critical.
I have a little backup here of two things I want to mention briefly before I read Soltec's writing. First one is a brief note along the lines of what Commander was just talking about, the value of the Liberator, and this is really directed to Nora. Callie, who is Soltec's scribe, her husband was relaying to me about 2 weeks ago that one of their friends, he isn't sure whether he can believe the Liberator. There's some stuff in there that is just sort of hard for him to understand. He's fairly conventional, religious. I can't remember whether Carrie said he was fundamental or just very entrenched in conventional religion. But there is one column in the Liberator that he will not miss and which definitely speaks to him and has the nuts and bolts that he wants to see, and that's Nora's research corner. So I just thought I'd share that.
Ah, but it may be that now that she's written on Robotoid, she may be out too.
Well, she got to the inner earth a while ago and didn't lose everybody, so maybe she's on a roll. The second item is something I did not have time to read last week with all the confusion, but it was a personal note and well meant by Callie, by Soltec scribe, and it was for everybody in the room here as well as for our extended family. And I'll read that to you first before I read Soltec's writing this week. Greetings, Commander Hatton and extended crew. This note is from Soltec scribe and translator Callie. I realize that I have already spoken with you, Commander Hatton, on many occasions, but putting my thoughts into written format makes it much more real for me. I write this to thank you for all the kind words and for the pep talks you have given to me via the Tehachapi meeting tapes of the last several weeks. The encouragement from you and Commander Soltec has been of great help to me, boosting my confidence in my abilities as receiver and speaker. I thank all of the host and all of the wonderful group in Tehachapi for the warm, loving reception and support that has been given to both I and my spouse, Carrie. Because of you, we don't feel so left out over there in a faraway state. You all do a wonderfully fine job. Keep up the good work. You are greatly appreciated by many. We especially send our love and warmest greetings of support to Dharma and Oberle for all the work that they have been doing and all the trials they have been put through. Their example sends out a strong message of inspiration so that there is no doubt this mission here on Earth will get done. I wonder whether I would have the fortitude and commitment which these two have had.
Indeed, yes, indeed, Kelly.
And we are deeply honored by their unwavering service. I feel at times that Carrie and I don't express our appreciation in the manner we should. So please accept this note offered with our deepest gratitude. We think of you all often and you are always in our hearts and in our prayers. May Holy God be with you and bless each and every one of you in service and in love. Kelly and Carrie.
Thank you.
Now on to Professor Soltek. Good evening, Soltek present in the radiant light of Holy God of creation. This has been a tiring week for the many who labor continually in the mission of putting forth the truth unto your world. As your adversaries find themselves losing ground, they will begin to pull all the dirty punches they can. Theirs is not a battle of integrity. Their only goal is to be the winner. Their concern is not how the game is played, rather, who wins and who loses. It is the philosophy by which all things are done on your world today, and it matters little as to who is destroyed in the process of winning. The corporations of your world suck the very life from their employees, taking all that they can from the individual, and then dump them on the heap of dying humanity, all in the name of the almighty dollar. And as the dollars grow ever more scarce, you can look forward to even more of this practice. By the time a young executive reaches the age of 40 years, he's completely used up by the corporation and has outlived his usefulness in their eyes. He is fired, losing all financial security, falsely placed in career, and another young executive moves in to take his place. What happens to the other? He becomes yet another statistic for your elite to use against you ones in order to convince you that only they can take care of you properly. It is a sad state of affairs indeed that your world is in, and even sadder at the lack of value that is placed upon the human being. There are so many of you out of jobs that you have become an overabundant commodity to be traded back and forth like so many head of cattle. No, it is no exaggeration, for it is exactly how you, as the human being, are considered. The employee has become a liability rather than an asset, and all these new executive orders and laws to supposedly protect you are only going to work against you in the future. So you now have ability to have 12 weeks leave for family reasons. So what? How many of you could afford to be without income for 12 weeks? How many businesses can afford to do without an employee for those 12 weeks, considering that most of your businesses have trimmed staff in order to just stay above the water? Who are those who will benefit from this? Only those of the elite family. That's who. You, the people, will only stand to suffer even greater from all these wonderful programs that are being shoved down your throats. You should by now understand fully that what is given to you in one hand will equally be taken from the other hand. There is nothing free in your world, and to believe so is nothing short of plain foolishness. You are being led down the rosy path only to have it end in a bed of thorns. And it is time for all to awaken from their Rip Van Winkle sleepiness. While you once have been sleeping and searching for the elusive pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the enemy has been hard at work cleaning you out of all that you worked to acquire. The golden rule by which they live is, he who has the gold rules. Those that are now in power are more dangerous than any you have dealt with in the past, as they are able to deceive even those who know, because they do so with such displays of emotion that it tugs at the heart. Do not be deceived. Those emotions are but for the appearance. They are programmed for their display. And you are being programmed to become more sensitive. It is but a ploy to weaken you ones yet further, as many are still uncontrollable. This is a time in which you must be very careful and above all, use discernment. Without this, even many who have begun the path towards the light are apt to fall into the trap of this deceit. It is, as Commander Hatton has stated, a time of sorting, a time of separating the wheat from the chaff. Challis, you are nearing time of graduation, and these things are all part of final examinations, which must be taken before graduation from this expression. It is more important than ever before that you review all your lessons and recall the teaching that has been given forth unto you. The enemy is struggling to maintain ground and is fighting with renewed force in new arenas because their control is rapidly slipping away. Though ones are weary and nearly exhausted from the fight, this mission will continue. And those who are ready to give it up shall rely not on their own strengths, rather on the strength of Holy God. Your weapons are not those of gun or sword or bayonet. Your weapons are the truth and the light of God. And these weapons shall sustain you, even though all about you may look dark and hopeless. With God there is always hope. With God there is light. With God there shall be victory in this battle. Now on to earth changes. Where to begin? The volcano in the Philippines is continuing to spew out ash and deadly gases. California is shaking. Japan is shaking. Washington State is shaking. Not enough? Well, to add to the list, you can look toward not only Mount Mayon to continue its eruptions, but you can look to other volcanoes in this same region of the Philippines to begin with eruptions very soon. And you can look forward to several volcanoes in Japan to act up as well. Meanwhile, the Pacific Northwest is rapidly approaching a critical state as the thought to be dormant volcanoes there are rumbling deep within the earth. Pressure continues to build beneath these magnificent mountains as the Juan de Fuca plate presses and squeezes into the magma chambers under these volcanoes. To this growing list, you can add the volcanoes in Alaska, South America, and the Hawaiian Islands. The Pacific Plate has entered a new geologic cycle, and much of what is experienced is due to this cycle of activity. As happens with all things which are cyclic, activity will continue to increase until it reaches its apex, and then it shall begin to subside once again. This area of your world is geologically very young and has much life, so it is only to be expected that it would show signs of continual activity. This is why so much attention is given to this place, for as I have stated in previous writings, the elite are using the already natural activity to their advantage in order to throw the world into a state of catastrophe, so that destruction or control over you ones is assured. Many on your planet have of late begun predicting earth changes. Though this has been going on for many years with others, the renewed predictions deserve at least some consideration. For you see, many are seeing the exact same events on the horizon in the same time frame. We are not advocating dependency upon so-called psychics, but there are some who are very accurate and of good intent. These ones are all seeing major earth changes occurring within the next 3 to 5 years, with activity picking up tremendously in this year. Several are seeing major earthquakes in California before May 9th of this year, at least one of which is in excess of 8.5 on your scales. Is this a possibility? Absolutely. Those of you who live in this place can attest to the fact that the shaking is almost continual. Is this normal? Absolutely not. There is so much damage below the surface and so much being targeted from above that the earth just cannot hold on for very much longer. There is a point at which pressures will reach critical mass, so to speak, and at that point, the chain reaction will begin, and there will be no stopping it. Yes, it is a very busy time on your planet, and it is equally a busy time for those of us who have the continual job of monitoring these events. Many of the events that are occurring in California are directly caused by the activity that is heating up below ground level in the underground facilities. It is critical to their time frame that these facilities are completed and fully functional in very short order. There are many, many things afoot that you ones are unaware of, and at this point in time, it is best to keep it that way. Just know that the elite are working overtime and in many places. You also have new satellites in orbit that have even greater capabilities than those of previous generations. The accuracy with which they are able to target is so precise that they now have ability to strike within mere inches. And it is, as your military would refer to it, surgical operations. In other words, you may be standing next to someone who is hit directly, and you would experience nothing.
Thank you, Ed. We need to...